It's the Steve Gruber Show. You decide if it's good, bad, or ugly. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Another death day as we head back in music history. Hugo Montenegro died on this day in 1981. This song actually was number two on the charts back in 1968. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from the Clint Eastwood film. Produced a number of works for RCA Records, including music for The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and also the soundtrack for Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, of course. Hugo Montenegro died on this day in 1981. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. Joined by Pete Hoekstra, U.S. Ambassador to the Netherlands during the Trump administration, 18 years in the U.S. House, and also chairman and ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee during that time. Currently chairman of the Center for Security Policy Board of Advisors, and at Pete Hoekstra on Twitter as well. Pete, thanks so much for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, always good to be with you.
I appreciate the time. Everyone talking balloon these days. I've got to ask, we'll talk about the China aspect here in a minute, Pete, but you spent a lot of time in Congress and you spent time on the House Intelligence Committee. Have you heard of something like this happening in the past? Have we had balloons flying overhead and we just didn't know about it?
I have not. Balloons towards the end of my tenure in Congress, it's actually a fascinating technology. It provides some capabilities that you can't necessarily get with satellites or other collection means. So it was actually evolving. It was an evolving and growing technology. It's also lowering costs and certain other things. So there was a lot of talk about the use of balloons, but as far as I know, we had never seen an incident like this.
Okay, so you mentioned there are advantages as for a balloon with this basket of equipment as opposed to using satellites or something like that. What can a balloon give China, let's say, for example, that other means cannot?
Well, I think the biggest advantage is it is lower cost, so you can build more of these than you can a single spacecraft that may fly overhead. The other thing that it provides is it provides the opportunity to loiter, meaning what? It can stay above a particular spot for longer than what you might get from a satellite. And obviously, the areas where you'd have a satellite or a balloon as the primary means of collection, those places are off limits to traditional aircraft. So that's what you get. You get access. The loitering capability, and we'll find out, hopefully, as we collect this package, exactly what technical kind of information the Chinese were trying to collect as this balloon flew over the U.S.
Are you surprised at all that China would do something so brazen, so out in the open, as to just fly a balloon over U.S. airspace?
No, I'm not. I mean, this is the amazing thing to me that as we have this dialogue, people say, they're shocked by the behavior of China. And it's kind of like, wait a minute, take a look at what it's doing in Asia, what it's doing with Taiwan, consistently violating Taiwan's airspace. Take a look at what it did with the whole COVID crisis. It was never open and transparent about the origins, the treatments, and those types of things about COVID. We do know that regardless of whether it came from a lab or not, we do know that the Chinese Communist Party facilitated the travel of tens of thousands of Chinese out of China to the rest of the world, even though it knew that COVID was out there. So it basically helped spread COVID. Mm-hmm. You take a look at what it's doing, the whole fentanyl crisis. Where do the precursor chemicals come from? They come from China. They go into Mexico. They're made into fentanyl, and the pills are then distributed. So now flying across the U.S. with a balloon is part of a pattern. It is not an aberration. It is not something that we should be surprised about.
Pete Hoekstra with us on the Steve Gruber Show, a former House member for 18 years from Michigan, former House Intelligence Committee chairman and ranking member now with the Center for Security Policy Board of Advisors. So we shoot this thing down with a missile, Pete, and it falls 60,000 feet to the ocean. There's recovery efforts underway, but after all of this, what might you think is still out there? What can we glean at this point from what we find?
Well, I think we'll be able to find out. Actually, I think we'll be able to find out quite a bit. We should find the actual, collection box underneath the balloon. Mm-hmm. We'll have an idea about the propulsion and the capabilities of the engine underneath the balloon. That's not as important. But the collection tool, that will be interesting. And I was always amazed, when we collected stuff on the battlefield in Iraq or Afghanistan, and you take a look at a piece of rubble coming into one of our laboratories here in the United States, one of our intelligence laboratories. And after a period of time, the experts would come back and tell you exactly what the capability of this thing was, not only what it was doing, but how precise and how accurate it might be. And I think we'll be able to get considerable information from this, unless it had some type of a kill capability in it that the Chinese mm-hmm. activated before it shot down.
Pete, what should be the U.S. response? Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, how upset, how annoyed, how big of a deal is this in the scope of international relations?
Well, I think it's a big deal, again, and it's not one event. It is the pattern of events. And our national security establishment under the Biden administration, they've identified the threats to the U.S. Because you ask yourself, why is there not a stronger response? And they've identified the threats as being China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. They've identified terrorism as a potential threat. But the other threat that the intelligence community has identified is climate change. Mm-hmm. So why is it a muted response? It's a muted response to China because John Kerry, the president's climate envoy, is trying to negotiate a climate agreement with China right now. And so that's why it's a muted response. I believe it should be a much harder response because China militarily, economically, is a much bigger threat than what we are giving it credit for. I was just watching an interview from a foreign policy expert, and he kept saying, China's a competitor. They're a competitor. They're a strategic competitor. And it's kind of like, no. They're much more than that. They are a threat. They are a threat to our way of life. They are a threat to our democracy. They are a threat to our livelihood. We need to form a much stronger partnership with our allies in Europe and in Asia to confront this threat until China changes its behavior, become more economically independent of China mm-hmm. rather than dependent. We need to make sure that our supply chains go through our friends and not through China.
Pete Hoekstra with us at Pete Hoekstra on Twitter. Thanks for jumping on the Steve.
Tomorrow is happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
The Michigan Chamber.
Over the past year, we've experienced incredible uncertainty. Businesses across the state have been shut down. Unemployment skyrocketed, and Michiganders have been left wondering, what's next? And throughout this turmoil, your Michigan Chamber has been fighting for you to protect lives and livelihoods. We know that we're all in this together. Michiganders are strong and resilient, and we know that working together, we can bring Michigan back.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
That's not cool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.